January 30, 2023 is de Juan van Pedro show.
En dan is er de moeilijkheid van de mondstukken. Na afloop van de tournee wil ik naar de fabriek in Parijs gaan om daar de bouw van een speciaal tenormondstuk te bespreken en eventueel een speciaal instrument. Want ik wil de tenor beslist niet loslaten. Ook al is de sopraan misschien mijn favoriete saxofoon.
It is really going to be my favorite, but I don't think it can take the place of the tenor in my life because the tenor doesn't have the power that the tenor has, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've got to have that power to you know, get across certain ideas. So actually, I'm going to need them both. I'm sure of that.
Show start off the well, happy Monday. Start off the show with John Coltrane talking to Michael DeRuyter about the soprano saxophone on December 1st, 1962. And then we had the darts. Is it the darts US or can I just say darts?
You can just say the darts. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, because, yeah, probably some copyright issue or something. Because it looks like darts us. Darts, Toys R Us, darts are us. All right. People, you could tell I'm not man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Nicole Christina from Darts with us. We heard My Heart is a Graveyard. And welcome aboard, Nicole Christina. Nicole in Tacoma, Christina in Phoenix.
Hey.
Now, who wants to go first? Yeah, we got to give credit first to Jella for the connect. Thank you much, Brother Jella. Now, who wants to go first?
I'll go. Nicole's better at talking.
Okay, Nicole, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Wow, what a question.
Well, remember, it's the Watch for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Okay, fair enough. My earliest musical recollection of playing music was...
not playing, just musical. You might be hearing. Usually when you're a kid, you're probably hearing more than playing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if that's true. My parents weren't really into music. They weren't musicians themselves. My dad played a little trumpet growing up, but they weren't people that sat around and listened to music ever, really. They still don't.
Their memory. It's your memory. What's your earliest musical recollection?
So for me, I remember my mom taking us to see the Boston Pops in Chicago.
Boston music.
I was a little kid, and we went to see the Boston Pops play, and I don't know if that had a huge impact on me, but I just thought it was extravagant and, you know, elegant and all that.
Well, it's and enough then, to become your earliest musical recollection. You could bring Watt for his Watt from Pedro show.
That's right. There you go.
Let me ask you, this pad in Chicago, I was conceived in Chicago. I didn't live there, but I was conceived there. That's what my ma told me. But was there musical instruments? You said your parents didn't play, so there was there any chance there was any instruments there?
You know, they actually had a tiny toy, one of those little tiny toy pianos in the back of their van for some reason. And we'd go on these road trips, and I would sit in the back. This is before seatbelts were required. I would sit in the back of the van, and I would play on this little piano. And I think I was just, it was one of those clinky little toy things.
It was woman alone, though. You didn't have to go through the dreaded piano lesson experience.
Eventually, they got a real piano, and I did the piano lesson thing.
Okay, I've had guests on the show that almost made them want to quit music. When I found, it's usually the teacher didn't know how to fucking teach.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. Luckily, I got connected with this really cool teacher, and I was studying classical music only at the time, but she always would throw in a pop tune into the repertoire to make it interesting, and I loved that. I would sing along with it and stuff, and I think keeping it fun was sort of her way to do it. And
especially when you're dealing with kids, right? I mean, got attention span of a gnat and shit. Let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money?
This is really embarrassing. It was Journey Escape.
Well, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. That's why I asked that. Like, what are you going to spend it on, right? And I guess your first gig was seeing that Boston Pops gig.
Okay.
Now, what about at school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I was in all of it. I was I was studying classical music very seriously all through my childhood. So I was playing like 4 to 6 hours a day sometimes, practicing for competitions and stuff. But in school, I was also playing the flute and the band and the orchestra. I was in marching band. I was the drum major of my marching band.
Wow, the drum major. They kind of lead. They got some fancy kind of, scepter or something that they, I guess it's so that everybody can hold time and stuff. I remember Mark Puglisi was at Pedro High here, man, and he would just lift up that thing and march with it all proud.
Oh, it was amazing. It was really cool to lead these parades. And, you know, you're also kind of the conductor of the band, so you learn a lot about the different instruments and stuff. And it was really cool.
Okay. Wow, so you were all in. And you think the gateway and the gateway was this fucking your parents put you on piano and getting the piano lessons. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it might have been that Boston Pop gig, though.
I think they were trying to send me in that direction for sure.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Not after school, like graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing with some buddies?
I never discovered really a love for rock
music. Only institutional learning. Okay, that's all right. You know, everybody's got their own path to navigate.
Seriously, it was a really weird path, and I didn't come to the pop rock world until way later in life.
That's
all right.
You know, Vincent only painted his last 10 years.
There you go. I didn't know that.
Shows to go yet. Well, that's why I wanted you on the show. I wanted to enlighten you with that fucking factoid.
I will take that. Awesome.
So, okay. When you graduate school, do you go to higher education for music?
Well, I tried. I went to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, Stooges of Milan.
Yeah, of course.
And
big, I think campus only second to Ohio State. It's a huge school.
Yeah. It's a great, great school. I had a great time, and I actually got a music scholarship, but my parents, the scientists, both said, you're not going to study music. That doesn't make sense. So I ended up studying psychology and going to law school and doing all kinds of weird stuff.
Because they're thinking of a career path.
Huh?
They're thinking career path, and you were taking the artistic path, and they say, no, go diggy die.
Always. And I'm sure a lot of us in this field have had that same battle. But
I think
yeah,
parents are worried about their kids, right?
They are, rightfully. You know, nobody wants to support their kid late in life, so they want to look out for him. I get that.
Or they might pass away and the kid don't have skills to pay the bills.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So that's what I think. I remember my pop said, boy, you can piss in the wind only so long.
He was in the Navy, right?
Yeah. But it tripped him out when I showed up in Fresno with the Econo line I bought with gig money. He didn't know about that, so it tripped him out. You know, usually your parents are from the generation, usually, before you, so they just have another, they don't have, you know, a grip on the reality on the dealio, you know, the same thing. So you can understand, misunderstand, and them being kind of wanting. So you don't go to school, you drop out of school, you're telling me?
And oh, you no, go to psychiatry. No, I went hardcore school.
I mean,
I went
with music, and you changed
music,
psychiatry.
I was doing music on the side. Yeah. I was always doing music on the side. I was playing the piano for people who were studying, you know, voice and stuff like that. And I was trying to start out little rock bands and stuff when I was in college, but never really took. And it took a long time to get it going.
Okay. You guys gave me this tune, Strange Days.
Yeah.
Let's play it.
till I know what it is I've been told. And had a chance to think of what I think about what I've been told. And then deciding if I want to do what I've been told. Coattails of another awkward day comes the awkward, awkward night. Coattails of another awkward day comes the awkward, awkward night.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off the Darts doing Strange Days. Then we had Freewheelin' Jan Janssen from Western Massachusetts with No Teacher's Pet, Man Alone Mode. Dave Tabor, great cat. The Bobby Lees after that with Hollywood Junkyard. Brand new from Party Lights, Breakup Number 4. New from Sons, that's two U's, people. Wave. Derek Moneypenny, he was on the last episode as a guest. Point Pinol, out in the desert. Then Ray Shin from Reno with The City Sounds Like a Tiny Town When the Night Train Whistle Blows. Laura Steinberg after that with Now It's Time, in parentheses, A Song for Children. Etage 34, 34th floor in French, huh? Plus Tenko, great singer lady from Tokyo, in seat, I think French pronunciation, pardon me fucking that language. I screw up this language too, so equal opportunity language fucker up or what. Not on purpose, though. And then Have a Nice Life. They get this brand new thing where they put out these demos, and this one is the future. And then finally, Darts with My Way, but not that Neil Sedaka. It's vicious. Okay. Christina, your turn. Please bring your earliest musical memory, please.
Oh, God. Probably earliest was when I was a little kid and there was a Wham on, like, MTV on my grandma's giant floor TV.
You're talking George Michael.
Yeah, George Michael.
Good-looking man. Great singer.
Yeah. I wanted to do his hair. Like, I was attracted to him, but I didn't know how. I was like, I'm going to do his hair someday.
I think he was a Lebanese cat, or his ethnicity or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we lost him a couple years ago. He kind of passed away younger.
Oh.
Yeah, middle age.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Very sad. But anyway, he had a big impact on you. It was your
boss. I mean, not really. It was just like the earliest thing I can remember ever was like that kind of stuff. Like,
oh, I thought it was your Boston Pops moment.
Not Boston Pops. He didn't change my life. I think that. But no, that was
Cyndi Lauper's still going. She's still going.
I know. I can't believe it. Yeah. I've still never seen her play live.
No, but she's still going. Okay, now let me ask you this. In the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
Kind of. I had, like, these really crappy guitars that you get at, like, the swap meet that are, like, half size that have, like, plastic strings on them.
Well, more
and
like
I tape them all up.
I think the strings are more like fishing line.
Yeah, they're like fishing line. So I tried my hardest to learn guitar on one of those for so long.
Oh,
and then
they
my
won't
little
tune.
Casio
they
keyboard.
Won't fucking tune.
Yeah.
Right? They don't tune. The keys don't hold. The strings slip. All that.
No. Shit. It's like impossible.
Okay, let
I
me
did
ask you this.
I could.
Let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't even remember. I remember being like 14 and going to this record store like every other day and being like, do you have any Cramps records? And they were like, no, get out of here. We don't have any of those. And they just thought I was a nerd kid. But that's the first time I remember trying to buy things. I never bought anything when I was a kid.
Okay. Whoa. That's the first time somebody's answered that question like that in fucking 21 years, 7 months I've been doing this. Okay, now let me ask you this. First gig you saw?
The first gig I ever saw was, probably like a concert at the fair with my mom, like some 80s stuff.
You're talking like county fair?
Yeah.
I remember my pop taking me the one in Fresno. Look at the balls on that fucking bowl. Basketball. Like, yeah, pop.
Yeah. I thought the guys at my the fair
went right there,
were, like,
right
famous.
There. God damn. And then he showed me the antique water pumps. I mean, there's a lot of good shit at those things.
Yeah.
What about grade school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, and shit like that?
I was in orchestra. I played violin all through school from second grade on because you could start violin before you could start band, and I was impatient. So I did violin and, yeah, all through school in the orchestra.
Which chair?
I was always, like, second chair, second violin, or first violin, but...
First.
There was always, like, one really, like, privileged kid that had private lessons that was always, like, one ahead of me.
Okay.
All through school.
That's fucked up. And I'm going to ask you what I asked Nicole. Not after school graduating, but afternoon. Did you get into garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
I'd sit in my room and just play guitar, like, rewind.
Okay, so you ended up getting a guitar beyond the fishing string plastic shit?
I did, eventually. I went to a pawn shop and, like, cried until they lowered the price enough for me to afford my first guitar.
How much?
A Takamine acoustic guitar.
Me and Dee Boone got our first guitars at pawn shops. How much did you pay?
I paid $100 for it.
Me and Dee Boone, $15 each. $60 here in
Pedro.
That's
really good.
Well, we're also talking 1970, 71.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. You end up,
yeah.
You're the darts bass player. How'd you end up on fucking bass?
I don't know. Well,
we gotta talk about the garage band, basement band, bedroom band.
Oh, okay. Well, I met one of my best friends at a bar, and he was playing guitar to all these reel to reels, and I was like, "That's cool, but you need a band because that'd be way cooler." And he was like, "Well, you should play bass for me," and then I started playing bass. Right after that.
So you must have, you went back to the fucking pawn shop and got a bass?
No, actually, he had this, like, really awesome 73 P bass that he sold me for, like, almost no money.
Wow.
And I still play it to this day. It's the only bass I've ever really
played.
Those
are good ones. The P basses are good, man. You can't go wrong.
I love it.
Let me ask you about amp.
About an amp? Well, I use
No. Those days.
Oh, in those days? I used, I had this GKRB-800 head and an 18-inch
cabinet. Galen Kruger, people. Campbell, California.
Yeah.
I used to have an 800RB. I know about those things. You know, I'm a little prejudiced towards bass, so I'm going to ask you questions like this. Now, this guy had you play bass. Is this a band that does gigs? Does it have a name?
It was called the Madcaps. It was like the first band that I was ever in that did shows.
Okay,
like
Madcap.
A lot of shows.
Like the Syd Barrett album, Madcap Laughs?
Yeah, like okay. The Syd Barrett.
Because
yeah,
Madcap's such an England word, right? We don't usually use that here. Let me ask you this. What was the first fucking Madcaps gig like?
So the first gig we did was we would play on the back of a truck. We'd set up on the back of a truck and drive around down where, like, all the art galleries or shows were and, like, just stop and interrupt
what town was this?
Parties. In Phoenix.
Okay. I can't read mine yet, so you're going to have to use words. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
So you're driving up and down the street in Phoenix. Not Tempe, but Phoenix.
Yeah.
Right, this ain't for college kids. No sun devils. This is for the general population. And what's the reaction of people?
People, like, didn't know what to expect. Phoenix was still kind of, like, crappy back then. There were a couple art galleries, and there would be, like, a monthly, like, art walk thing. So we'd just drive around and stop in front of parties and play, and if a crowd showed up, they'd either, like, be like, get out of here, you're ruining
our party, is this band a duet?
It was a three-piece, so
it's a trio. Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the material? Were you copying songs off records, or were you guys writing your own compositions?
We did our own songs mostly, but
great.
We did cover some Headcoat songs.
The Headcoats. Right?
Yeah, the Headcoats.
Yeah, Billy, that poet guy, right, from England.
Billy Childish.
Billy Childish, he's a tripper, man. Much respect to him. Also, his wife, too, right? She was in a lot of bands. Kind of garagey stuff, right? Yeah. Excellent. Big mustache, too.
Okay. I love it.
How long does Madcaps last? I'm sorry.
I think we lasted probably like, I don't know, a few 5 or 6 years.
Did Madcaps record? Did they tour?
You know what? We never did anything. We just played a whole bunch of shows here, and then we stopped playing together for a long time. I mean, we still hang out. We still jam and stuff, but we never really did a lot of, like, out of Phoenix stuff.
Now, when it came to writing your own songs, were you part of that? Or did, like, the guitar... It's usually the guitar singer, right? Here it is.
Play the root note an octave
lower than us.
Yeah.
No, but I'm curious. Did you ever come up with material? Songs?
I've come up with 2 Dart songs.
No, I'm talking about... We ain't in Dart world yet. We're still in, like, pre-Dart world. So I want to know... Yeah, I want to know about Christina in Phoenix on the bass, not in the darts yet.
I'm not a big songwriter. Like I
that's okay. That's okay.
On my own, but I never put them forward in bands for some reason. I don't know. I like to add to other people's material.
Sure.
Put in my 2 cents on everything for sure.
I think everybody's got their own way. So there's not one way to do it. I'm just curious. Like I said, I don't have the mind reading thing down yet. When I do, though, I'll just fucking grouch right in there and tell everybody what I'm fucking finding out, okay?
So yeah.
In the meantime, you use words with me, please. And so you would say that gig down the Art Street in the back of the truck, was that a success?
Yeah, it was really fun. Okay. I was scared.
People still talk about that band. It made a huge impact on the Phoenix scene at the time. She's being pretty modest, but people still talk about that.
And you heard about this in Chicago?
No, I was living in Phoenix by then, and later that's how I got to know Christina.
Well, we're going to get around to how the darts formed, so that's probably in that story, right?
Yeah, probably.
We're at the end of the first hour. January 30, 2023 edition, Wap Peter Show. Special guests, Nicole Christina, the Darts. Hold tight for hour 2. January 30, 2023, it's the second hour, the Wap Peter Show.
brilliant, heartfelt and cold. Capture a sigh while it floats in the night.
If it ever gets there, I can close up those missing links. I might dive below. Maybe if I go slow, I might hear it calling. Oh, the leaves are broken and falling. I might make their dreams. I sang that song in such a western key. Just didn't know how to take it to the valley. Maybe I'll never know. I might dive below. A bit of magic, baby, I might hear it calling. Oh, the leaves are broken and falling. I might make that dream.
Watford Pedro show start off the second hour. Darts doing Phantom. Then we had the Hammer Party with Wage Slave. That sounds happy. Ellis Swan after that with Down by the Reservoir. You hear that, Neil Young? Not Down by the River. Down by the Reservoir. Diane Marie Clovis from her new album, Dim the Dimmer. I think it's the title tune. That's what the album's called. Mike Molnar after that with Return of the Huntress and Ensuing Games. Comma splice, but that's all right. You don't need a comma, Mike. Ensuing Games. That's a title, man. Okay, you know Watt has to start with the title when he writes songs because it gives me focus. Everybody puts them on last. but I'm fucked up. Okay, Maxine Funke after that with Make That Dream. Back to Nicole Christina Darts. So I guess we're to that part where the darts get together. Now, obviously Christina's in the town where she grew up, but how'd you get to Phoenix?
You know, it's not a musical story, but I moved to Arizona to go to law school. So there I was.
That's all right.
And I started playing in bands when I was down in Tucson in law school at the U of A.
Tucson. Okay. So you actually, they're 90 miles away, people. And actually, Tucson's the older town. And that's got not Arizona State, but the big school. And I think the street that happens there is 4th Street, right?
Exactly.
Right.
And
there was a club the first time I played Tucson was a place called Tumbleweeds.
Oh, yeah, I remember Tumbleweeds.
You remember that? Okay, great. A long time ago, or a little while ago. So you're going to law school, but you're still doing this parallel lives where you have music on the side.
Yep.
Okay.
I was playing in jazz trios, and I was playing in a rock band, and I was playing all over Tucson all the time, and then moved up to Phoenix to get my first job as a lawyer, and started playing in my first original band in Phoenix, finally.
Can I ask you, like I asked Christina, about the material? You're playing in other people's bands, so you're probably playing their songs, but did you ever compose yourself? Did you ever bring shit in?
Always. I've always been, even as a little kid, I was writing songs.
Okay.
I can't stop the flow.
No, that's so, bitchy.
Yeah, I always brought the songs, yeah.
And do you have recordings of them, or did you write them out as a written manuscript, or?
I would do both. Most of the people I was playing rock music with didn't read music, so I would give them recordings. I still do that pretty much. Although Christina reads because of her violin, she can read pretty well, so that makes it easier. But usually it's just recordings.
Okay, so how do you run into Christina in Phoenix?
So eventually,
she's one of your clients in the law office, or what?
she was a judge in my trial. Just kidding.
No.
What was the guy on Perry Mason? What was his name? Mr. Berger, the prosecutor who would never win a case? Actually, they never went to the jury. Perry Mason, my mother loved that fucking show. I had to see everything as a boy. See, they get the people to stand up and admit it. Never went to the fucking jury.
Absolutely. Anyway. I'm working as a lawyer in Phoenix and playing in my own band and writing the songs. And finally, a guy came to see one of my sets and said, "I really want to start a garage band, and you play keyboards. This organ sound, like from the seeds and the animals and all that, would fit perfectly. Why don't we start a band?" And he was kind of well known, so I was like, "Yeah, let's do this." And he was the one that said, "You know, for a bass player, we should get this girl Christina who plays in the Madcaps on the truck, and she's awesome and she's beautiful and it would be incredible." And she finally joined up, so we started this band, and it was called the Love Me Nots.
You know, when I'm thinking organ, I'm thinking either B3 or Farfisa, and in this case, it's pretty much Farfisa, right?
I mean, in the studio, I play a lot of stuff, but live, it's always my Farfisa Fast 3.
Right. What was the question mark, right? That 96 Tears, that sound.
Yes.
Right. So it's his band, and he asked you to join?
Yeah, and he asked me to write the music and with him. And
okay, what's his band called?
It's called the Love Me Nots.
Okay. So the Love Me Nots has this guy, you, Christina, anybody else?
Yeah, we had a drummer from Phoenix who was really amazing too, Jay, who played with us. It was the four of us, the quartet.
Okay. Can you remember the first Love Me Nots gig?
Yes. We played at a little art gallery in downtown Phoenix. It was, you know, sort of this crumbling part of town, and we played, and there happened to be a reporter there from the New Times from Phoenix, and we got like a cover story out of our first show.
That's a success. Oh, yeah. That is a success.
It was the greatest band, really.
In fact, I think that
these players were all great.
I think that weekly is still going. They're one of the few ones left in the country.
Yeah. They're still chugging along.
Yeah, look, I want to play.
Yeah, it's smaller and smaller, but it's
I know,
still there.
And then the porn ads in the back get bigger and bigger.
Exactly.
I want to play Cat's Meow. for Pedro show. That chunk of music start off with Darts doing the cat's meow, singular possessive people. After that, we had Spot. Now, Spot was the guy who recorded first Minuteman record, first Black Flag, Nervous Breakdown, first second Husker Du. And same with Meat Puppets, second Meat Puppets, that first album. But In a Car was the first single. Actually, I first turned them on a monitor record. They were on somebody else's album. All of a sudden, it goes to the Meat Puppets for one song. Is that fucking trippy? And it goes back to the other band. Anyway, Spot's, he's sick. He needs a lung transplant. He can't breathe. He had a stroke and stuff. Can't talk and be thinking of people. He's a beautiful man. Love that man. Iron Legs, Star Munster, Bewicks. That's him on electric guitar there and some buddies. I think out of Austin when he was living there. If Bawana after that, live at 533 Warren. This is Al Margolis out of Chester, New York. Beautiful man. And then finally, Underground by Darts. Okay. Now, how long does Love Me Nots last?
I think we went for, good, 10-some years. It was solid.
Now, did this band record and tour?
Oh, yeah. We recorded with, among others, we recorded with Jim Diamond in Detroit, who did the White Stripes stuff and the Dirt Bombs and all that. And we recorded and we toured all over the world, and it was an amazing trip.
Okay. And it ends.
Oh, it ended.
Okay. But two people remain to make another band.
For sure.
Okay. Yeah. That this is how the Darts get going. So what about the other two people?
Well, the guy who started their Love Me Nots originally and I had gotten married, and then we got divorced, and so that was kind of the end of the band. So,
you know what? I've seen that happen a couple times, million times.
It's sad. It's a sad thing.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? You usually end up better friends, and that happened with me and Kay. You end up a bit tighter people after.
It's nice when that can happen.
Yeah.
Or it's nice when the... when the bad people get out of your life forever.
Yeah, that's cute. Even, that's really good. But, explain about Darts. I mean, right, we don't want to get into the gossip shit and stuff.
We've been pertinent
to Darts.
We were in Love Me Nots for a long time. We were getting just sick of dudes. We were in bands with dudes forever. We'd never really, done our own thing, and so forever we've been saying, let's start a band that's just like us and like some other girls and just like see how that goes, like get some cool girls and do a band like without any of these guys. And when
especially if they're the leader, right?
We did.
So you find two other ladies.
We did.
Yeah. We sort of racked our brains and we're like, we want really good players. We don't just want to be like some girl band because we're girls. We actually want really good players.
Yeah.
And so,
how do you do this?
We tapped a couple people that we had met on tour over the years with the Love Me Nots. And they were playing in other bands. Neither of them are in the Darts anymore, but they started out, they jumped on board. They were both from LA actually. And we sent tracks back and forth between L.A. and Phoenix, and they recorded their parts in L.A. We recorded in Phoenix and put it all together.
Okay, but the material, this is for Darts, right? So you're not giving them Love Me Not stuff, right? You're giving them brand new stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, I can't stop writing. I got songs coming out of me every day.
So you got a reservoir.
Nicole writes 10 songs a day at least. Okay. Like, she writes so many songs.
Okay, so yeah, you didn't have to rebrand the Lummy Nuts. You just brought out stuff and repurposed for this new, or maybe you were writing in the moment too.
Oh, absolutely. And the guitar player at the time who we brought on board, Michelle, was also doing some of the writing. She's a great songwriter. And so we collaborated on some of the writing too early on, and it was really cool. That first EP.
Okay, let's pick it up because in the next hour, because we're out of time now. This is the fucking.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. January 30, 2023 edition. Wap Peters for special guest Darts. Hold tight for hour three. January 30, 2023. It's the third hour of the Wap from Peters show.
Don't.
Watch for Pedro. She'll start off the third hour with Darts doing Don't Hold My Hand, Jealous Favorite. Crane after that with Natural Being. Then we had Jean-Marc Montero and Tyler McDonough's with Duo Per Lelio, number two. Victoria Shen after that, an excerpt from her self-scratching record Trip. And then finally, David Gerard with Metaverse. Ooh, don't want to live there. Now, let's get back. So the beginning of the Darts is actually kind of two different towns. It's a long distance kind of thing at first, right?
Absolutely, yep.
But the good thing about that is that...
No, I think there could be good things, because you're not pressed. There's not like the sweat it out. You're in front of the person having to deliver. You got time to develop things on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's advantages. I know this from doing collaborations with people by trading files on the internet. There are certain advantages to that. Yeah, it's not the same as recording in the room with somebody. But so how long do you do this before the first Darts gig with the... all four of you?
It was pretty quick. These players were good, and everybody learned their parts fast. And I think our first official show was just a couple months after we wrote the songs.
And where was it?
It was in I just posted about our first show, and I got all these comments. No, your first show was before that. So okay, the first show was in Tucson, and then we did like four shows in a row, so Tucson, Phoenix, L.A., you know, like a little four-show run.
A little mini tour.
Yeah.
And when that first one in Tucson, how'd it go?
It went great.
Ah,
these women can freaking play. They were right out of the box, solid.
Now, you saw them in their own bands when you were on tour, so you had kind of an idea, right? But you never know until you really do it, yeah.
Right. No, the chemistry was there. It was really, the sound was great.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
And how long do they last in the band?
Michelle was with us for about maybe a year and a half, and Ricky, the drummer, was with us for about a good chunk of it, about 3 years.
And the people you got now, are they the ones that took their places?
Yeah.
And where'd you meet them? And who are they?
Melissa Jackson is our guitar player now, and she was also sort of a Phoenix guitar fixture coming up, and she was playing in a lot of bands around Phoenix over the years, and her name just sort of kept popping up, and finally, when we needed a guitar player, I'm like, well, this makes sense. She's right here in Phoenix, and she's great, and so we got her on board easily.
Drummers
are tough, so we were on tour... actually in Chicago on tour once and with the Darts, and we played with this band, the Mystery Actions, who were on the bill with us. And after the show, their drummer came up to us and said, hey, if you guys ever need a drummer, let me know. I really like your stuff. And so when the time came, we wrote to her, and she still lives in Chicago, but we do the long distance thing with her. It works out great.
So she she solicited herself to you.
Yeah, she was on board.
She made herself available.
We met her.
yeah, no, that's bitching. And what about Love You to Death? I want to do that.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show. That last music for this edition, that chunk started off with Darts doing Love You to Death. And then Bob Stagner with Evan Libsyn and Mike Baghetta doing Immediate, in parentheses, Red. Well, actually, in brackets, parentheses, part one of two. Next edition, people will hear part two of two. And then finally, Darts US. I wasn't supposed to read it like that, but I did. Intersex. Now, Intersex is the other side, because the one song I didn't play today was one I played last edition, was the Oil.
Snake Oil.
Snake Oil song. Yeah, sorry. And so I didn't want to give people deja vu all over again. So tell me about this new album out on Jella's label, Alternative Tentacles.
Oh, it's been so much fun to put this together. We asked Jello if he wanted to jump in on this record. He was really involved in our last record with Alternative Tentacles. But he was involved enough that we were like, on this record, do you want to actually, like, you know, give us your two cents as we record and, you know, help with mold this record? And he was on board, and he was there, like, talking to our producer every day and just helping us choose the songs and get the sounds he wanted. And so it's got a big Jello stamp on it, this one.
And who was the producer?
Producer is Bob Hoag, who has done all the Darts records to date, pretty much, and all the long play records. And he's in Mesa, Arizona, and he's...
I know Mesa. I think Mesa's the biggest Mormon town outside Salt Lake City, because they used to have outside gigs there at the park.
You are correct. It still is a huge Mormon enclave, but he is not, but he's...
No, but that's okay. I'm not... It's just another factoid. I wasn't trying to get on anybody's case or anything. But I remember it was with Primus, and somebody hit Nels Klein in the head with a dirt clod, and I was like, Jesus, I get a band together so Nels can get hit with dirt clods. Yeah, and this was in the 90s. I ask people about whether gigs are successes or not, because I've had so much shit thrown at me. So I don't hear a lot of that happening to other people. We're talking sacks of shit, sacks of puke, you know, used condoms. I'll tell you what hurts.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what hurts is, yeah, cups of piss. What hurts is D batteries, especially D size. They fucking hurt.
Oh, my God. D batteries?
Yeah. They're fucked
specifically?
Up. Triple A if you go throw batteries, right? So let me ask you this. Studio. Was it in Arizona?
Yeah. So his studio is in Mesa.
Oh, here's in Mesa. Okay.
It's in Mesa.
Remember there was a club there too called Hollywood Alley or something?
It closed, but it was there for a long time.
Well, I said was.
Yeah.
You know, a farmer would, and people say, what? But a farmer would tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manures. You know, how can you have that kind of place? Well, that's why. So how long did it take? Did you go in with demos?
Oh yeah, we had the demo because our drummer was in Chicago, so we had to maximize our time, be really efficient about it. So we'd send her the tracks.
Did she fly in? Okay.
Yeah, and then she flew in like a few days before we started recording, and for the first time we all sat down as a band and started rehearsing. We rehearsed for about 4 days, and then we went to the studio for about 4 days, and it was done.
Wow, she's a pro. Y'all pros, all four. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
And Jella,
and
Bob and Jella and everybody helping out. Yeah, that's bitching. Well, I could just hear Jella right now. Well, you know what I was thinking of Jella is that belt buckle with the star. He kept that buckle even though the leather had to get bigger. But he kept that star. Brass fucking star. It just stuck in my mind. Okay, so... you know, that's pretty efficient. 4 days of prac, 4 days of record, and it's done. Yeah, I like that. And then Bob spent a little while mixing it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you get Jello and Bob on the phone together talking, and they can talk for hours.
Right. So what's the plan now? Tour?
The plan now is, we're focusing on Europe a lot this year because we have a good promoter there, and he's got just stacks of Europe shows starting in April. All through the summer.
Where can people find you on the internet? Is there a Darts website?
Yeah, it's thedartsus.com. And then
people, that's
thedartsus.com. That is it.
Okay.
And you can find us on all the social media with that same handle, thedartsus.
You know what? I think a long time ago, maybe New Wave days, there was a band called Tough Darts.
Oh, really? There was a doo-wop band in the UK called The Darts, which is why we have to put the U.S. after.
But there was, I think there was tough, like T-U-F-F kind of darts, right? Tough darts. But so I'm curious. Okay, so first some Europe tours, but maybe some U.S. gigs after?
We're hoping, yeah. We're focusing on that for right now, but hopefully we'll get back to the U.S. after that, yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, if you get a SoCal gig, I'd like to come see.
You are on the list,
okay,
man.
Okay, so let me know. And when you do new darts music, please come back on the show. We can play it and talk about it.
We'll do. Yeah, we actually been doing a lot of recording and stuff already.
Already thinking of the next one. That's the way it goes, huh?
Yep.
It's beautiful.
Can't stop writing.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to have you back on again. Thank you again, Jella, for the connect. People, it's been the January 30, 2023 edition of Wop Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.